Welcome back to another episode of Diagnosing a Killer, The Mental Breakdown. Mm-hmm. I'm Kenna.
I'm Kawell.
Let's get into this. I'm excited.
Okay, I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
First things first, actually, I do have a message from a lovely listener named Lindsay.
Lindsay.
And Lindsay said, "Ladies, I stumbled upon your podcast last week and now I'm hooked. You make me laugh in every episode and the fact that you're sisters warms my heart. I don't have that relationship with my sisters and I just love that for you. Keep being lovers of the world and true crime." She went ahead to suggest a case, which I wrote down. And then she said, "Love you, ladies. Bye." Aww,
thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks, Lindsay.
You could be our sister.
Yeah, absolutely. We already have a sister named Lindsay, kind of, so yeah. You can be another honorable sister.
So true.
Thanks for the message, though. We always love hearing from you guys. And secondly, just want to give a shout-out to our newest Patreon member, Joe. Thanks, Joe, so much for joining the Patreon. And he's already bought merch, too. He's just a great, loyal listener and friend.
So true. Thanks, Joe.
Absolutely. Do you want to give everybody our handles if it's their first time listening?
Sure. You can check us out on social media anywhere at Diagnosing a Killer. Other than X, formerly known as Twitter, which is at Killer Diagnosis. We also have a Cash App, PayPal, Venmo if you want to support us monetarily. We also have that Patreon up. All of our tiers get ad-free episodes every episode, and our Tier 2 and 3 Patreon members get an added bonus episode every month.
Yeah, that one just came out as well. Who was the person you did? I always forget his name.
Varg.
Varg. Varg. From Mayhem.
Vikestus.
It's a Norwegian case, so sorry to our Norwegian listeners. It's hard for us to pronounce certain words.
Vikernes.
Yes.
Vikernes.
You can access the Instagram to find the pictures that are hilarious with the mayhem background.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so metal.
So metal.
Yes, that also includes the band Mayhem as well, yes. And they have a crazy wild story.
Yeah, and if you want to join our current Patreon members, there is almost 10 or so bonus episodes that are available right now for you guys to stream. Takes less than a minute to sign up, and you get all that content.
That's so true. Who do we have on the Patreon? It's like Bundy.
No, Bundy is on a regular.
I'm sorry, Dahmer.
Yeah, we have Dahmer. We have Albert Fish. We have the Toy Box Killers, the Toolbox Killers.
Yeah.
And we have a number of other people I can't put my finger on right now.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Wild.
Very wild. Are you ready to get into this minty breaky?
I am.
Okay. Content warning. This episode contains talk of potentially triggering mental disorders and talk of suicide. If this episode is not for you, we encourage you to find another one of our episodes. Remember, your mental health is very important, and we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. So today, we are going to be talking about the types of psychotherapy.
Okay.
So I actually took a class about this recently. It was literally a class called Types of Psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot, so I decided why not make it into a mental breakdown. Super interesting. If you're not familiar, psychotherapy, also known as talk therapy, is a type of treatment that can help individuals experiencing a vast amount of different mental health conditions and concerns. Essentially, it's the style in which you receive therapy is okay. What it means.
I like this. This is like right up our alley.
Right, and it's perfect for a mental breakdown. While some types of psychotherapy can actually help alleviate symptoms of certain mental health disorders, they can also help establish the reason behind certain symptoms and root causes of one's condition. Psychotherapy can be conducted with individuals, couples, and even families, depending on the situation. Psychotherapy sessions typically last anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and can be conducted as frequently as multiple times a week, depending on the severity of the person's symptoms. In certain inpatient settings, patients may receive psychotherapy once a day or even more often. So it just depends on what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
The entire duration of psychotherapy, again on a case-to-case basis, can last from a few weeks to months and even lengthen to months to years in certain instances. Psychotherapy may also be combined with medication in certain instances that the patient takes simultaneously, and this can be extremely beneficial to the patient. Other things combined with these, such as regular routines, exercise, healthy eating habits, etc., can be helpful in assisting the patient in healing mentally.
I love etc.
etc. I always say etc., but it's etc.
Etc.
Yeah.
E-T-C-E-R.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But it's not E-X. I always say etc.
Etc. I feel like a lot of people do.
Like espresso.
Don't do that.
Research suggests that most people who receive psychotherapy experience symptom relief and say that they have an easier time functioning in their daily lives. According to some sources, about 75% of people who engage in psychotherapy show some type of benefit from it. There are several different types of psychotherapy that can help people depending on the kind of symptoms they are experiencing. And we're going to go down the Hot 100.
Yeah! We haven't visited a Hot 100 in a while.
I think it's like the Hot 13, actually. Number one!
Number one! Coming in at number one.
Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, or CBT. Probably people have heard about that before. It's very common. In the 1960s, Dr. Aaron T. Beck developed CBT. Along with him, psychologist Albert Ellis is said to have helped develop the concept as well. Cognitive behavioral therapy helps people identify and change certain thinking or behavior patterns that are unhealthy or ineffective. The patient is then assisted in changing these thoughts or behaviors and replacing them with more accurate thoughts and functional behaviors. CBT often involves practicing new skills in the real world. So sorry, I had to. In the real world, and can be helpful in treating a variety of disorders, including depression, anxiety, trauma-related disorders, or even eating disorders. One example of how a therapist might work with a client using CBT is challenging the thought, quote, I can't do anything right, end quote, and encouraging the patient to instead think, quote, I can do hard things most of the time based on my previous experience, end quote. So instead of saying, like, oh, I can't do anything right, it's like, well, think of all the times you've done things right in your past and use that moving forward.
That makes sense.
Bringing the new thought back to things that were successful for the patient in the past is key to encouraging them that they can do things in the present. Individuals who undergo CBT have shown to have changes in their brain activity, and studies suggest that this type of therapy can even improve brain function.
That's interesting. Just I like so that. Cool.
Just yeah. talking to someone.
Yeah.
CBT is one of the most commonly used psychotherapies due to the extensive research and evidence of its success.
Yeah, and I bet it's, I mean, I would assume it's one of the easier ones to gain access to just because you're using, like, talk therapy, essentially, right?
Yeah, and it's, well, all of these, or a lot of these are talk therapy. It's just different ways to approach the talk therapy.
Oh, I see.
But CBT, because it has so much research, it's so much wider used, and it can treat a variety of symptoms, which mm-hmm. I guess makes it super common.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two.
Coming in at number two.
Dialectical Behavior Therapy, or DBT. Founded in the late 1970s by American psychologist Marcia Linehan, DBT was originally developed to treat chronically suicidal individuals, specifically those who are struggling with borderline personality disorder. DBT is somewhat similar to CBT, however, it focuses on validation or acceptance of uncomfortable thoughts, feelings, and behaviors rather than trying to change them.
That's interesting because that definitely fits or aligns with symptoms of borderline personality disorder.
For sure. The thought is that having a patient come to terms with their troubling thoughts, emotions, or behaviors can help them see the fact that those things are able to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, it's like, come to terms with what you're feeling first before we try to just fix it, you know?
Yeah. Because I'm sure, like, a lot of those are unhealthy patterns or behaviors that mm-hmm. you're trying to utilize in order to, quote-unquote, fix your symptoms, right?
Yes. And this DBT kind of reminds me of, I'm sure I've said it before on the podcast, like, I like to say, you know, if you have a really long list of things to do in your mind, it probably seems super overwhelming. But if you write those down on a piece of paper, it can actually make it feel less overwhelming because mm-hmm. you can see it in front of you instead yeah. of it overwhelming your mind.
Right.
So the therapist's role in DBT is to help the patient find a healthy balance between acceptance and then change.
Mm-hmm.
On top of this, the therapist will also help the client develop new skills such as coping mechanisms and mindfulness practices so that the individual will eventually be able to practice these things on their own. Individuals undergoing DBT are expected to utilize the new skills outside treatment, and it is thought that eventually they will no longer need the therapist to help them through these things. Studies have shown DBT to be successful in producing long-lasting improvement for patients, and it has helped lower instances of potentially dangerous behaviors. Although DBT was originally developed to treat individuals with borderline personality disorder, it can be effective in other types of mental illness treatment.
Number three.
This one's called interpersonal therapy, or IPT. IPT was first developed in 1969 at Yale University by Gerald L. Kerman and Myrna M. Wiseman. They would lead a study on the treatment of depression, and the trial aimed to mimic clinical practice. IPT focuses on the relationships that the person has with others, with a goal of improving the patient's interpersonal skills. The therapy helps the patient evaluate their social interactions and pinpoint potentially negative patterns. These could include social isolation, aggression, passiveness, etc. And I think social isolation, I think of Joel Guy.
Yeah.
And he's like if he was able to manage his interpersonal relationships with his family, mm-hmm. perhaps he wouldn't have socially isolated himself so much. And right. maybe there was a different outcome that could have happened.
Yeah.
The goal is that the patient learns strategies for understanding and acting positively with others whom they already have relationships with. IPT is commonly used as a short-term form of treatment. And while it is most often used to treat depression, IPT can be used in other types of mental illness therapy, kind of like all of these. Number four is called mentalization-based therapy, or MBT.
Mentalization?
Yes. The word is like not even in the dictionary, I don't think, because it keeps coming up with a little red line under it when I write it out on the docs.
What does it suggest for you? Does it suggest anything?
No. It says, like, ignore spelling. Okay. So MBT was first developed in the 1990s by Anthony Bateman and Peter Fonagy, and was originally created specifically to treat individuals struggling with borderline personality disorder. Hmm. MBT engages and exercises an important skill referred to as mentalizing.
Mentalizing
is the intuitive process that gives people a sense of self. It's thought that when people consciously perceive and understand their inner feelings and thoughts, this is mentalizing. Hmm. This can also be used to perceive the behavior of others and try to speculate about their feelings and thoughts. So it's almost like encouraging empathy as well.
That is interesting, yeah. Or like, yeah, putting yourself in someone else's shoes or something.
Yeah, and I always think, like, people that wear glasses, like yourself, and people mm-hmm. that have never had to, like myself, I'm like, oh, I just be waking up and be seeing for free. I'm like, I just be waking up and be mentalizing for free. I already do this. I don't gotta go to therapy for it. Oh, I need therapy for other reasons. Yep. So due to these practices, mentalizing in turn helps the patient connect with other people. The theory about MBT and borderline personality disorder being connected is that people with BPD have a weak ability to mentalize about their own selves, leading to negative feelings about oneself, over-attachment to others, and difficulty empathizing with the inner lives of other people. Mm. The therapist would begin an MBT therapy session with a patient by encouraging that patient to practice mentalizing, specifically about their current relationship with the therapist. So they start there.
Interesting.
Since people with BPD tend to grow attached to their therapists rather quickly, MBT takes this attachment into account immediately.
Like, what about Bob?
What's that?
You've never seen What About Bob?
You
should watch it because you would love it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't watch things. I'm sure that the listeners know that I don't watch things.
But it's a guy who, like, essentially cannot live or function without his therapist. So he, like, goes to his vacation home and, like, all this stuff.
It's like the Evan guy in Freaky Friday. See, right? This is the difference. Jamie Lee Curtis in Freaky Friday, and she's a mm-hmm. therapist, and she's, like, taking one day off for her wedding, and the guy's like, you can't leave! whatever. It's terrible. So, MBT is typically long-term and less structured than other types of psychotherapy, and can be carried out in both individual and group settings.
When I think about the latest trends, I think Spencer's. Spencer's has been a mall must-visit since its first store opened in 1963. From then, Spencer's has always stocked the most unique and buzzworthy products, including but not limited to their wide range of lava lamps, their body jewelry cases, and of course their infamous wallet wall. And don't forget about their 18 and up section, dedicated to sexual health. Did I mention their humanitarian work? Spencer's has been partnered with the ACLU for years in an effort to protect individual rights, as well as other nonprofits such as cancer. With over 670 locations in the U.S., Spencer's is the hottest place for trends, even after 75 years. Click the link in the show notes to receive an exclusive offer today. Spencer's, life's a party, and we're making it fun.
Number five.
Number five. We didn't do it for number four. So number four.
I just went into it. This is called psychodynamic therapy. None other than our BFF Sigmund Freud would develop the collection of theories of psychodynamic therapy between the 1890s and 1930s. The goal of PDT is to recognize the negative patterns of behaviors and feelings that are rooted in past experiences and resolve them. This type of therapy often has the therapist ask open-ended questions and give the patient free association to express whatever is on their minds. After giving the client the floor and allowing them to bring up certain topics, the therapist would then help the client sift through the thoughts and identify unconscious patterns of behaviors and feelings. Mm. The therapist then helps interpret the feelings and suggests how they've been caused or influenced by past experiences or unresolved feelings. Essentially, like, what happened in your childhood that's causing you to behave the way you do today?
Yeah.
By bringing these patterns to the attention of the client, they can begin to overcome the unhelpful behaviors that they had been engaging in. Once the client is able to become self-aware, they can begin to change these unhealthy behaviors. Number six.
Number six.
This is called humanistic therapy. Carl Rogers is known to be one of the main founders of humanistic therapy in the 1950s. This type of therapy is also known as humanism, and it is a form of talk therapy that focuses on the patient's individual nature rather than assuming that groups of people with similar characteristics all have the same concerns.
Okay, so it's like the individual versus like a cultural theme.
Exactly. Hmm. Humanism aims to consider the whole person, especially focusing on their positive characteristics and potential for growth. The emphasis on a person's positive traits and behaviors can help develop their ability to use their instincts to find growth, healing, and fulfillment. Humanistic therapy can be used to treat people with depression, anxiety, panic disorders, personality disorders, schizophrenia, addiction, and many other concerns. So it's really widespread as well.
Yeah.
And people with low self-esteem and who struggle with finding a bigger purpose in life can really benefit from humanistic therapy. Number seven.
Number seven.
Experiential therapy. Originally pioneered by Virginia Satir and Carl Whitaker, experiential therapy is a category of therapeutic techniques in which expressive tools and activities, such as role-playing, acting, props, music, crafts, etc., are used to allow clients to reenact emotional situations from their past.
Like regression therapy?
It's like drama kind of? Therapy.
Oh my gosh, drama, yeah.
The theater.
Therapy.
The object of experiential therapy is to focus on the activities and, through these experiences, better identify emotion associated with certain feelings. With the assistance of a trained therapist, the patient is encouraged to explore and work through their feelings of anger, hurt, shame, or anything else related to their past experiences that may have been ignored or kind of pushed aside up until now. Different types of experiential therapy include play therapy, art therapy, music therapy, drama therapy, and wilderness therapy.
Wilderness
Let's go out
therapy.
To the wilderness.
Let's go LARPing.
True, though. So all of these types of therapy are beneficial to patients who are struggling with personality disorders, eating disorders, PTSD, and others. Mm. Number eight.
Number eight.
This is called supportive therapy. Supportive therapy is a subtype of therapy that falls under the psychodynamic types coined by Sigmund Freud. In this type of therapy, the therapist assists and encourages patients to develop their own resources outside of therapy by means of a support group. This type of therapy helps build self-esteem, reduce anxiety, strengthen coping mechanisms, and improve social and community functioning. That's pretty cut and dry. Number nine, my absolute favorite, is animal-assisted therapy.
Number nine, hot 100.
Oh, number nine. Dr. Boris Levinson would develop animal-assisted therapy in 1964. Animal-assisted therapy is just what it sounds like. Patients are able to spend time with different types of animals, most commonly cats, dogs, and horses, but essentially any type of animal can be used in animal-assisted therapy. I took a class on animal-assisted therapy in college, and I got to do equine therapy with, like, the little mini ponies, and they were
oh
so
my
cute.
God.
But there was this one person that had, like, a naked mole rat as their animal-assisted therapy. I was like, that's so cute.
Oh my
my yeah, God. I know.
Ugh, we should get gorilla certified.
We should.
Tortoise. Emotional support tortoise.
Hell yeah. Well, no, see, there's a difference, though, and I'll get to it.
Oh.
Spending time with animals has been proven to reduce symptoms of anxiety, depression, fatigue, and even pain for many people. Due to this, hospitals, nursing homes, and other medical facilities commonly engage in animal-assisted therapy for chronically ill patients or simply just for visitations. For people with mental health conditions, animals can reduce anxiety more often than other types of treatment. Pets also provide a non-judgmental form of interaction that can motivate and encourage people, especially children, to open up. So therapy animals are actually not the same as service animals. Therapy animals are typically used in like a clinical setting, again, with a trained professional like therapist, and emotional support animals or service animals can be for medical reasons or on your own doing. Like emotional support can be like you can seek that out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And then a service dog maybe or dog specifically might be able to detect a blood sugar surge and someone that's diabetic.
Yeah. You know? But you're saying like with the therapy animals, it would be with the assistance of a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. It wouldn't be just on your own.
Right.
Number 10.
How about Henry?
This is called Gestalt therapy.
What is it?
Gestalt. It's a last
Gestalt.
Name.
Gestalt.
Developed in the 1940s by Fritz Perls and the help of his wife, Laura Perls, Gestalt therapy helps patients focus on the, quote, here and now feelings and experiences rather than the root cause of those feelings.
But that's not even their last name. How did they?
It's not, but it's named after, I misspoke. It's not named after a person, but it's a German derivative meaning, like, put together or whole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's cool. Not like a last name like I was thinking or like I was saying. I'm dumb.
No, you are not. Don't say that
Don't
about
say
my
that about
sister.
Oh, that was nice. Where was I? The goal of this type of therapy is to arouse emotions in different situations, allowing the person to become more aware as the emotions happen rather than like reflecting on them afterward.
Mm.
It's pretty much cut and dry as well. Client or person-centered therapy is number 11.
11. How about
11. Also credited to Carl Rogers, client-centered therapy is considered non-directive counseling. In this therapy session, the therapist will allow the client to take the lead and will seldom interrupt or give much insight when responding to the client.
Hmm.
This type of therapy is centered on the idea that people are capable of deciding for themselves what type of psychological topic they want to explore.
I agree with that.
Therefore, the therapist does not guide the client toward any particular direction or outcome, but instead creates a safe environment in which the client can just discuss whatever they want to.
So true. Like, so many people feel like they can't vent to maybe people around them that are also having, you know, daily life issues with work or family, and they don't want to, like, burden the people around them.
Yeah.
So it's probably pretty hard to just vent.
See, that's so funny that you're like, that's my kind of therapy. I would hate this. I'm like, give me fucking advice, please. Like, don't just let me rant, because I'll just, like, rant myself into, like, a conclusion that makes no sense. I'm like, I need help.
No, a lot of the times, like, if I feel really, really stressed, and you know me, that I keep a lot of things inside a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get the opportunity to just, like, let it go and let me talk and let me go, I can get to the conclusion on my own for the most part.
I feel like sometimes, maybe I don't say this out loud, or maybe I have to you, but if you do open up about something, I'm like, okay, do you want advice or do you just want to vent?
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, let me know. Like, okay, I want advice or no, I just want to talk.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Just talk.
No, I feel like sometimes if I'm having a tense conversation with someone, I feel like if they try to give me advice, I do nothing but push back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I'm like, no, I don't I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the dishes because you asked me to.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, client-centered therapy, the therapist is simply just there to listen with empathy, warmth, respect, non-judgment, and a lot of different types of individuals with mental disorders can benefit from this type of therapy, including but not limited to PTSD, anxiety, depression, etc. Number 12, 100, is Alderian therapy. This type of therapy was introduced by Alfred Adler, so it is a last name, who focused on prevention of behaviors rather than remediation. This type of therapy begins by creating specific goals that the patient wants to achieve and taking the steps necessary to make those goals a reality. I like this type. The therapist helps raise the client's self-awareness and encourages increasing knowledge, motivation, and habits with the client. This type of therapy is mostly beneficial to clients who are struggling with lack of motivation or discouragement, rather than clients who are struggling with a serious mental illness.
Mm.
Like, this would be beneficial for me. Like, not that I'm not struggling with a serious mental illness, but, like,
for motivation.
Right. I have, like, the baseline knowledge. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would need a little bit more help from someone that's licensed, you know, to get me to where I need to be. And number 13 is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy, or EMDR.
Good job.
Thank you. Desensitization is such a hard word to say for me. EMDR was created by American psychologist and educator Francine Shapiro in 1989. It is a form of psychotherapy used for resolving the symptoms of traumatic and other disturbing life experiences. This method of therapy involves the patient moving their eyes a specific way while simultaneously processing traumatic memories. While doing this, the patient's brain is allowed to resume a natural healing process. Sometimes there's also, like, a light bar in front of your eye to help it move.
Like a light therapy of some kind.
EMDR relies on what is known as the adaptive information processing model. This is a theory about how your brain stores memories and suggests that your brain stores normal and traumatic memories differently.
That is so
loud. That's such a loud plane. Oh my god. Sorry. During normal events, your brain stores memories smoothly. When you experience disturbing or upsetting events, this type of storage does not happen correctly. The brain can essentially go, like, offline, and there's a disconnect between what you experience and then what your brain stores as a memory. This being the case, your brain cannot heal these types of memories in a healthy manner, causing disruption between your senses and your memories. When a patient undergoes EMDR, the memories of traumatic events are reprocessed and essentially repaired to become smooth. EMDR can be beneficial in treating anxiety, depression, dissociative disorders, eating disorders, OCD, personality disorders, trauma disorders, and many more. That is the list. I know I went really fast with, like, through that, but I was really excited to get it all out there. This list actually just scratches the surface on psychotherapies, and there is a lot more that are available. They're just not as common.
Yeah.
But you can find a whole list. I mean, it goes down to, like, this, like, most specific thing you can think of, and it's like, I don't know, I can't think of an example. But just wanted to add as well, when it comes to choosing a type of therapy for yourself, it's important to educate yourself on the different types of therapy that your therapist in your local network use, and choose which one you think would be the most beneficial. Also, don't get discouraged if one type of psychotherapy doesn't work out immediately. And if that is the case, just try a different type. You never know.
Yeah.
When looking through potential providers, it's absolutely encouraged to ask them what type of therapy they utilize and how they would use it in your specific sessions, should you ask for one. If you or somebody you know are experiencing a mental health crisis, call 988. And of course, if you're experiencing an emergency, always dial 911 or your local emergency line. That's it.
Thanks for bringing the topic. I thought it was really interesting.
I feel like it's been a while since we've had a really, like, straight to the point, content heavy mental breakdown. I was like, this is the mental breakdown, you know?
Yeah, this is what it's about.
Exactly. So I hope you guys enjoyed that one. A little less banter than normal, but I thought it was interesting.
I think it's very interesting. Yeah, especially the rapid eye movement one.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I don't think I've necessarily heard of that one, but
really I would expect that would be the one that you'd heard of, because it's just been talked about more and more recently.
Oh okay, yeah.
EMDR. I was actually looking into EMDR. My old therapist actually suggested that might be helpful for
me. You know what, maybe you were the one that did bring it up to me.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, it's interesting, like, when you go and you shop for a therapist now, they have, like, all of their things that they do, the types of therapy that they do. Found that really interesting, too.
As they should, because, you know, I've even had an experience where I went to a therapist, and what I didn't know was even a thing at the time, but in hindsight, she was very much, like, client-centered, and I hated that. I was like, it was, like, everything I said she agreed with, and everything I, like, talked about, she was like, yeah, that does suck. And I was like, okay, no, like, help me. Don't just tell me my life sucks.
Please fix me. Please.
Don't just tell me that my life is horrible and I should be sad.
Yeah, I can see why you're really depressed about that.
Honestly, though, jeez. Like, that was almost verbatim what she said.
Oh, hell no.
Well, thank you guys for joining us for another Menti Breaky. We will see you soon with another case. Yeah. And if you haven't already, go check out those Patreon bonus episodes for our Tier 2 and 3. Join those other people that are getting all that exclusive content, and they're really excited about it.
Yeah, and maybe a soon-to-be-announced announcement.
Yes, we'll see. Absolutely.
Probably sometime this week.
For sure. Be on the lookout for that. And we are also going live on Friday, so join us on Instagram Live on Friday. We're just going to, I think, just chat, maybe. Yeah, maybe pop chat. Over to Whatnot as well.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we'll see. Yeah, but we'll see you guys then.
All right.
Love you.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Born and brewed in Southern California since 1963, the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf has always been passionate about connecting loyal customers with carefully handcrafted products. Their coffee master, Jay Isaias, only selects the top 1% of Arabica beans from the world's best growing regions, giving customers the best quality product every time. Whether you're looking for a dark roast to liven up your day or a soothing tea to relax into the night, the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf has it all. Click the link in our show notes today to access an exclusive offer and get sipping.